On this episode of Brody and the Beard, we're going to talk about the breaking news, Daryl Morey stepping down as general manager of the Houston Rockets.
If the offense is triangular, it's something like a prism. Put you on that lockdown defense like a prison. Hakeem was the dream, the MVPs must be his children. They won 22 games in a row, that's a rhythm. Triple-double Russ, man, I need you to acknowledge. He don't do this for the optics, man, he do this for the Rockets.
Welcome to a new episode of Brody and the Beard on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mo DeKeel. With me, as always, is our man on the ground, who is going to be crazy busy now if he wasn't busy already, Kelly Eco, who covers the Houston Rockets for the Athletic. Kelly, how are you doing?
Doing good, man. It's going to be a... Can't catch a break.
It's going to be a day. It's going to be a day. And the reason why it's going to be a day... Daryl Morey has stepped down as the general manager of the Houston Rockets. In his place, the Rockets are elevating former guest Raphael Stone to the general manager position. But Kelly, how shocked are you by this?
Yeah, I think you have to be shocked. If you look at the way the franchise was headed, you know, heading into a pivotal offseason, obviously Mike D'Antoni had left the position. There was going to be a number of decisions to make with the roster. But Daryl Morey was kind of, you know, the afterthought. He was supposed to be the one, you know, taking charge of the head coaching search. Now, he will stay in a role to advise the team as they finish, you know, the head coaching search. But this is a big move. This is shocking. If you just go on Twitter, you'll see the kind of airwaves that news kind of sent through the whole Twitter sphere. But this is a big loss for Houston. He's been there for 13 seasons. Over that time, I think the Rockets had the second best winning percentage after the San Antonio Spurs. He's been really successful. I mean, obviously, he hasn't gone to an NBA championship, NBA finals, but he's turned the Rockets to a contender and a yearly contender at that. So him leaving is big for them.
Yeah, I mean, this is a... big moment. I mean, the guy, like you said, has been there since 2007, has made big trades, won executive of the year 2017 to 2018 season. He brought in, I mean, made the big trade to bring in James Harden, ended up bringing in Dwight Howard, has brought in Chris Paul, has brought in Russell Westbrook. They've made big changes to the roster. Now they've gone to extreme small ball and things like that. Like, the thing I appreciate the most about Daryl Morey is he's never afraid of taking big swings, you know, and that's something that we don't see from a lot of general managers. You know, they all try to play it safe and things like that and all of that. Not Daryl, man. He takes cuts, you know. he might knock it out of the park. He might strike out and look bad doing it, but he ain't afraid. And that's something that I kind of appreciate and respect with all of that. And it's just kind of, it's really interesting with everything that's going on, you know, and all the changes. I'm surprised it happened, but at the same time, like, then when I sit down and think about it, I'm not too surprised just because it feels like, it almost felt like this day was coming, Kelly.
Right. And when we spoke about the era of Rockets basketball potentially being over, you know, you kind of have to include Daryl Morey as the head of that, I guess, triangle with James Harden, Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni. It just felt like this whole era of that team was coming to an end. The way that the second round turned out and the way, you know, the last 4 years have turned out. But, you know, Daryl Morey always took risks, and that was a good thing, you know, for a team that wanted to. Or a team that saw itself as equals with Golden States of the world, with the, you know, the Raptors of the world, with the Lakers of the world. You know, the Rockets saw themselves as equal footing. And Daryl Morey made the moves he felt, you know, were needed to be a championship team. Now, they haven't been successful, but, you know, can you fault him for trying? Because there, like I said, there are so many GMs that stood back and sat on their hands and tried to just wait out the Warriors or wait out the Lakers and Clippers and stuff like that. So I think from this point on, it'll be interesting to see the direction the team heads in terms of, small ball philosophy, head coaching search, and the rest of the roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is stuff we kind of thought there was going to be changes depending on who the coach was coming right. in. But the, you know, the seeing, like, it's hard to see what changes you can make because I feel like they're limited in terms of assets and things like that unless they're willing to make a move for willing to move PJ Tucker and Gordon in a package maybe or things like that. But it is going to be a very interesting thing. Now, look, they're not starting a search. Correct me if I'm wrong. It doesn't sound like Stone's going to be an interim. It's his job.
No, it's his job. It's his job. They're going to promote Eli Wardis to assistant general manager, and those two will coordinate, you know, the book of responsibility.
So let me ask you this question, because we are in the middle of a coaching change, you know, and a coaching search. I mean, we've heard, you know, Ty Lue, Jeff Van Gundy, were coming in and stuff like that. Who was conducting those? Are they starting all over, or was?
No. So I think Morey will still stay on as a advisor, if that makes sense. Because he was the one that was given control of that search. So it would be weird to just, you know, throw all that away, you know, because he's stepping down. Assuming he's done so much work to get to that point already. But I still don't understand, you know, why this is happening now as opposed to maybe after the head coach was already announced or after the season, like to give Stone and Eli Wardis time to do their own head coaching search, because who knows, it might be different. Everyone knows that front offices that work in tandem, but could there have been different candidates for Stone as opposed to Morey? Could there have been different candidates for Wardis as opposed to Morey? Like, you never know. So I think it really throws a wrench in their plans, and it makes their, I guess, offseason a whole lot more confusing.
You know, the thing that really kind of bothers me a bit about it too, Kelly, with just the timing of it, is now it looks like this is an extremely unstable situation. You know, like, okay, and you're right. Like, if Daryl Morey steps down, because I don't think he was fired, if he steps down, you know, it's, you know, right after the season, okay, now we can start coordinating everything. It just looks bad when you have these interview processes going on and you know, everybody's just assuming, you know, and all these guys are involved. You know, I imagine, you know, all these guys who got promoted were involved in these meetings as well and so on, right, as part of the search. But it's, you're right, like, it's different. Like, maybe there are different candidates. Maybe this opens the door to more candidates and a wider net being cast. Maybe they already know who they want. It's challenging in that sense, but it just sort of creates a question of stability when I really felt like this was an organization right now that needs it, because there's so many questions of what are they going to do? You know, there's a lot of work to be done before Daryl stepped down, right? There was a ton of work to be done to figure out the coach, the roster, and moving forward what the plan is.
Yeah, and talking about the coach, you know, I've had players, you know, express their confidence in, you know, Tyronn Lue and stuff like that. I haven't heard that much about Van Gundy because he hasn't coached in, what, almost 2 decades?
It's been a while.
I mean, well, he hasn't coached an NBA team. He coached, you know, Team USA, obviously. But, yeah, it's really confusing. I'm going to be really interested to see not only who their next head coach is, but the synergy. Because remember, for 4 years, the league championed this idea of a relationship between Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey, and James Harden. Right, and now two of those three names are gone. Do you start thinking about James Harden's future?
I think everything's on the table.
I think you have to. And to your point about the cohesiveness of the team right now, it's all over. It's sloppy. If that word makes sense, like if you're going to make a move, well, obviously no one could tell Daryl when he wants to leave. He stepped down. But why now? I guess that's my biggest question.
I mean, I'm with you on it. Sloppy is actually a great term for it because it is sloppy. It just looks bad. The way this whole thing has figured out, has been put together, it just looks bad. Plain and simple. And I think sloppy is a great way of looking at it, Kelly. And yeah, let's talk about, you know, James Harden's future. You know, what does this say about that? Like, do you listen, everybody needs to also understand this news dropped like an hour, maybe an hour and a half ago from when me and Kelly are recording. The story might, everything might change within the next, you know, couple hours after we post this. So, you know, everybody kind of bear with us here a bit if more news drops. But what does it feel like with Harden? You know, like you said, two of the three, you know, we always talk about how perfectly in line they are, you know, front office, coach and player. Two right. of those three are gone. You know, forget about just, you know, do the Rockets want to move on? Does James want to stick around?
Exactly. Like I've heard Harden is a Ty Lue guy, but I'm not sure if he's a Van Gundy guy. If that makes sense. Same with Russell Westbrook. You know, you just don't know. You kind of have to. Anytime you see a situation like this where a franchise kind of unravels, you know, in such a quick fashion, you kind of have to think about the star players and if, you know, ownership wants a full rebuild. Well, not a rebuild, but like a full, what's the word?
Restructure. I'm blanking right now on the
restructuring. Word. Yeah, restructure. That's what I mean. Restructure, thank you. Yeah, it's just super random. Like, obviously, Maury's future was going to be in question ever since he sent the tweet about, you know, Hong Kong. And the league's reaction to that was kind of embarrassing. He was thrown under the bus numerous times. It's just been a long year for him personally. But he's done a great job with the franchise. You know, salute to him and his future endeavors. If it's with another team or another profession, he's a smart individual, knows his math for sure. And he loves basketball. So, I mean, I think wherever he ends up is going to be one place that he wants to go. But as far as the Rockets right now, I wonder what, you know, friend of the show, Rafael Stone, is going to do with the franchise moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a interesting thing. I wonder also how much more Fertitta is going to be involved, you know, in terms of decisions and things like that, too. You know, right. it's a little bit different now, right? Like, you know, the things have shifted now. It's, you know, Daryl Morey was the holdover from Les Alexander. Now it's, you know, Rafael is Fertitta's guy. Now, you know, like that's his guy. Yeah. He picked him. He elevated him to this position. So, right. You know, I wonder how much more involved he's going to be. And I'm not sure how good of a thing that is if he's involved more. You know, I have a lot of questions about Tillman Fertitta as an owner. Now I'm going to have a lot more questions as him as a quasi GM. Like I have concerns for this team, and it really felt like things were shifting, I think, as early as the Westbrook trade, right? Like everybody kind of felt like Westbrook never felt necessarily like a Morey guy, a type of guy he would trade for. I mean, it's almost the exact opposite, right? So it's interesting to see where all this is going to go.
Right.
And I honestly, man, God, I hate being this guy, but you know, can't help myself sometimes. This could be the beginning of the end for the Rockets.
It's just unstable, and I think it's a downward spiral.
And I think it could be. It may not necessarily just be happen. It won't necessarily happen in this offseason, but it could happen by next trade deadline or next offseason, where there'll be some big moves, some unloading of contracts and whatnot, you know, and I think all of those things, like, you know, we're going to probably get into it down the road on a podcast about the coaching options and who they might look at. I think after we get a little more clarity on how things are shaping up after this shakeup, But, you know, like I'm not sure they want to necessarily pay a Ty Lue or a Jeff Van Gundy. You know, those guys are going to command big contracts. And if you weren't willing to pay Mike D'Antoni for a team that was literally tailor made for him, I have questions. So it's just going to be really interesting in that regard, really, of where the Rockets go from here. Kelly, what are kind of like your closing thoughts here with this change and maybe looking forward? And we've been pretty negative. Is there any positive spin we could make on this?
On his leaving? I mean, maybe sometimes change is good. Maybe, you know, after 13 years of success, you wanted something different. But also success is relative, you know, to depend on who you ask what success is. I think a new era could be a good thing for them if they truly believe that D'Antoni and Maury had taken them as far as they could. Who knows? Maybe Rafael Stone and the next head coach can take the Rockets to the finals or whatever. But I don't know. It's hard when you see something that's been stable for so long just leave abruptly. And if you try and get a positive spin on it, it's kind of – you really need some really rose-tinted glasses to do that. But I'm not saying the sky's falling out the roof. It's not,
not yet.
It's not D-Day for the Rockets yet. They're still a good franchise. Still have two All-NBA players. There's still a good structure in place. But they lost a big piece today.
There's a lot of work to be done.
And there's a lot of work to be done to make sure that this team can stay competitive.
And the truth is, we don't know if Rafael Stone, you know, how good he's going to be or how bad he's going to be. It's kind of like when an assistant coach gets his first head coaching job, right? Like,
right.
You don't really know till they're in the job. He might be a genius. He might pull off some trade. They might get LeBron. I'm just joking with that. But, like, he might pull off something where we're like, wow, that's a hell of a move. This guy's making some smart moves. We don't know till it's his decisions, you know, to make here. So, you know, now it's time to just kind of take a look and see what comes from the situations. But still, shocking news. Again, Daryl Morey, 13 years with the team, done a phenomenal job, I think. Maybe they fell short of winning a championship, but I still think that he had a hell of a run and never backed down, which is something that I'm kind of going to always – sort of respect about him. I may not agree with everything.
Because it's so easy to just sit back and, you know, concede or wave the white flag, right. And he never did that.
Yeah, and I might not agree with all the some of his decisions or some of his philosophy, but I respect that he just say, this is what we're doing, this is what we're going with, and I'm taking big swings. Like, I respect the hell out of that. So I think that's a good place to end this emergency pod. I imagine we'll be back pretty soon talking about potential coaching candidates for the Houston Rockets after we all have a chance to fully digest this news.
All right.
For Kelly Eco, for Mo DeKeel, for super producer Andrew Schlecht, we out!